Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation and such. So, another video. Okay, so last time was about screenplay, sort of, and this time more about video game and the simplicity of the rules. If I were to say you were going to write a video game consistent with the absolute rules of the universe kind of thing, like what really matters and what's really important, and none of the nonsense stuff, you know, no polished, no gilded lilies kind of thing, no things that are held up as tokens of some sort of fake appreciation that don't really have any intrinsic value. So as I stated, the future is bigger than the present. That's, in my opinion, probably going to be true. Hard to say now. Yeah, the way things are going, it does look, Idiocracy isn't going to be a well-planned future. It's going to be sloppier than it should be. Sloppier than it could have been, you know. Well, should is probably a good enough word, right? Because you would think things wouldn't get so silly that we find, like, the dumbest people on the planet and elect them leader. The person who flies planes the worst. Find the person who has the least knowledge of how to fly a plane and put them in the driver's seat. So it is pretty stupid. That aside. It's just so dismal a period of time to live through. I mean, I have all this potential, and it's all just pissed away on bullshit. You know, Elon Musk and whatnot. But anyway. So rules. And the theme for me this week was just, mulling over the idea that it's not about people being too ignorant. It's like the bar you have to get to understand this maze game isn't very complicated. I mean, the real rules aren't very complicated at all. The real truth about what we are and our evolutionary history and all that isn't, you don't need to be a brain surgeon to be up to speed on the basic concept. And that's part of what these videos, you know, the intention is to just kind of just illustrate the short version of those stories, those statements about reality, and, just recognize that it's not more complicated than that. And so the real problem is misinformation. So the real problem is people believing in things that are shit, that are nothing, that are garbage. It's not that they don't have enough truth. They have too much not truth, too much garbage. So no garbage in, then you don't get garbage out, and the facts you need to understand aren't daunting and demanding. I mean, you don't have to know a whole bunch about genomes and subtle differences of an RNA molecule versus a DNA molecule versus this versus, you don't need to know all that technical stuff to get the idea, just like you don't need to know how to design a rocket engine that can fire and not blow up, to understand the basic concept that you ignite a fuel, it chain reactions, and creates a bunch of expansion, and that expansion shoots out of the back of the rocket, and the rocket goes this way. I mean, the equal and opposite reaction kind of stuff. You don't need to do anything too complicated to understand the basic dynamics. I mean, you could write them like Newton's laws. You could write some three simple little rules of life. And so I guess that's part of what I'm doing here also. So that's part of what's right here. You know, not a single player game, too expensive, not your money. But it needs more stuck in there, like the future's bigger than the present. Okay. And, so if you're going to have an expense, it's better to pay for it when it's cheap than to pay for it when it's expensive. If we had to, say, relocate and we were a population of 1,000 people, well, if we let the city grow to 100,000, then it's a lot harder to relocate. You got to move a lot more infrastructure and people, and you lose a lot more assets that you're leaving behind and all of that kind of crap. So if you're going to do something that's unpleasant, you should get over with when it's less of a problem. Shouldn't wait until it's a big problem. Little things like that. I mean, those are just logical statements, like do unto others as you have others do unto you, right? I could write that one down, and just say, that's one of the rules. I mean, the golden rule is the only thing good that came out of anything tied to religion. And I don't think it's it's not really it didn't come out of God's mouth, it's just a sensible piece of reasoning to be able to understand that, bad is bad no matter who it's happening to. And so that gets to, like, criminal justice, and it's not that complicated to explain that it's not so much about reclamating the guilty, because, realistically, who cares? It's about preventing, the future problem. So if we're going to let the guilty people run around free again, well, we have to teach them a lesson, We have to make sure they give them a spanking. So like a little kid, they learn to negatively associate their behavior and recognize that, they've done something wrong. Now, the most powerful mechanism for me when I was a kid was guilt. If my father gave me that look like, ooh, you're a little piece of scum, aren't you? That, like, you've just done something to embarrass him, or, made yourself seem stupid and trivial and crude. Just the embarrassment would be enough. You didn't need to get whacked because you already knew that look was all you needed to see, was that disappointment look, that was enough. So you could say if maybe there's something about the criminal mind, that you can put your little wedge in there of getting them to recognize that they're just embarrassing the human race, or they're embarrassing, find something that would motivate them to feel that shame and, of falling short and, screwing up, just obviously that's not a positive thing. But the whole point of the system is prevention. It's not, if all you were saying was, there was no preventive value in any kind of punishment for crime, then it doesn't matter whether you punish the guilty or you punish the innocent, because all it is a brain tormented in the end, and that's all it's going to mean. So it only has value if you're gaining a future value, is the simple understanding. And so that's another, like, pretty simple rule, that you don't overpay for something if you can, pay for it once, and use that capital, to invest in future profit. You spend a little now and the future, you pay $3 now and the future gets $6. You do the sensible thing, the logical thing. You go where the highest yield of positive is, okay? And so another rule would be it's about the net game. So your life is a net piece of crap. So it's everything you did and what effect it had in terms of, cleaning the house, so to speak. So you could use a simple condominium type, shared, what do they call that? Shared something or other, where you all have an interest in maintaining the property because you all have a share of its value. And you also have just the practical fact that somebody doesn't want to have a vacation and they want to show up at their vacation house and they have to clean it, before they can use it. You don't want to be rude. but a timeshare. So, you know, it's just, again, logical to recognize where your life is the same kind of deal. You have to be able to improve the value of the property, so to speak, and the property is the future. The property is the rest of the world you interact with, and the bottom line is were you a menace? Did you leave the place dirtier than when you got there, or did you clean it up? Did you improve it? Did you, spray for termites and paint? Did you put a new roof on it? Did you do something to maintain, the quality of existence in the universe, or did you just suck blood and cause disease? And, were you just some kind of pariah that created a bunch of hardship and pain and unpleasantness to be experienced because of your poorly calculating your existence? And then so that's the trick of it, is that we can't know the exact calculation, so we have to do everything based on a probabilistic equation. So now this is again another simple argument. You could just say it's a simple rule that superstition doesn't add up to anything, so there's no mother's crack, breaking anybody's back. Mother's crack. sorry. Sidewalk crack, breaking the mother's back. Anyway, words. So superstition is, you don't use superstitions, and you don't use, it's in fluffy letters. I like green letters better than, pink letters. You don't go by what color the letters are written in or some other guy and bullshit to decide what is the more likely outcome. You have to do your best to understand the it's like you're picking a number at a roulette wheel. It's really hard, because they all look the same. It all looks, you can't really make any choices. But we know from our perspective that some of the numbers are really big. Some actions are really likely to be good, and there's other actions that are really likely not to be winners. Not to be something that's going to lead to any advancement or enhancement of the human condition. And you just go with the probabilities. Now, it's just a fact that, I have interfered in people's lives by making these videos, and some of those people will probably not have kids and not do certain things because of my influence. Maybe one of their kids was going to be, whatever the metaphor for a Jesus would be, some great savior of the future that I prevented happening. But what are the real odds that I prevented some, beautifully good thing from happening, or that I prevented something that was just going to be another mosquito, another vampire, another monster, that would just feed the destruction rather than feed the construction of the utopia, let's just pretend, let's just draw a picture, let's paint the picture of life on Earth and make it nice and pretty and then hang it on the wall and then forget about actually living it, because the living it'll be a lie. Just like movies are a lie, it's people don't go to the bathroom, all kinds of things don't happen. It doesn't have much reality in it. The stories and, the drudgery of, reality isn't in the movies. Because it's too hard to put tedium and monotony into an hour and a half. It's just not enough time to really feel the pain of all the shit hours of existence between the little peak moments, if there are any. the less deficit moments, yeah, the less dungeon moments, the little glimmers of sunlight through the bars as the sun travels across your dungeon, that kind of thing. So I think it's a, there's lots of room for that conversation about, just the simple diagram of these simple little rules, these little statements you can say about our reality and the reality of your circumstance. It's about what you accomplish as a, again, you can't know for sure that, there was probably somebody who walked in front of your car in traffic sometime and you stopped, and it probably would have been better if you didn't. Because you might have been, serial killer or some other kind of asshole who was going to fuck somebody up or fuck the future up or whatever. And you would have done the world a favor. But, probabilistic, you can't, can't know any of that stuff for certain. So you can only, the only reasonable thing to do is to recognize that there are some of these things that aren't on a fence, that you can tell the good plan from the bad plan, the plan more likely to succeed and the plan more likely to fail, the action. And so that's all you can do is the best we can to understand the dilemma we're stuck in and what's likely to get your existence to be as positive as possible in terms of what effect it has on sentient life on the planet Earth in the future. And the other part of it is you can't, it's so hard to know how futile or irrelevant any one soldier is in a war, right? I mean, you send a whole bunch of them over there and in some respects the numbers matter, but you got to know that some didn't do, they didn't make a relevant contribution. I mean, they caught a bullet, let's say. So I guess if the bullet, they didn't catch it, the guy behind them would have caught it maybe, or something. But yeah, it's hard to say every soldier is valuable and meaningful, but it's also really hard to sit there and say that you can know for sure which ones were irrelevant. And if that person had survived or not survived, how the whole turn of events would have somehow been affected. So that's the other part of it, is that, yes, it's always an escape for people just to say, I'm irrelevant, therefore I don't have to worry about any of these rules because I'm not going to have any significant effect one way or the other. And blah, blah, blah. And that's sort of just a cop-out because you really don't know how much effect you could have and or would have. And you just can't know which contribution was really, really important. I mean, you could just shoot bullets in the air in the direction of Adolf Hitler. And you might just accidentally, by luck alone, you might just happen to hit just the right general or just the right person and, change the whole course of history. So it's just sort of bullshit to say you're allowed the excuse of I'm not relevant enough for it to matter. So I can be a parasite, and I am not going to suck enough blood to make a difference. And you don't know if that's true or not. So it's just a way of evading the hard issue of taking responsibility and recognizing that there's an absolute fact that torture is what we're gambling with. Okay, that's what's on this wheel, okay? That's the house we're in. And we can't just walk out. You have to play. If you're going to keep breathing, you're playing, you're gambling. And you have to account for how you're played while you were in the gambling house, while you were breathing. What did you do with your breath? What did you do with your capacity to affect things, change things. make a difference between you being here and you not being here. It's just a fact that there is a difference. The world is a different place. Different people will breathe different oxygen. Different interactions will take place. You know, if you're in a vegetative state, or whether you're functioning, it's a different world. If you take up a hospital bed, yeah, you know, it's a bed somebody else would have been in. Just a fact. So I've sort of used that argument before about, you know, it was always a little bit intimidating for me in terms of relationships with women and all that kind of stuff. Because pretty early in my life, I had realized that if, you know, I marry somebody, the fact is they would have married somebody else if I didn't marry them. And so I have to be pretty sure that they're better off married to me than who they could have been married to. And I guess I got that sort of from my mother, because she would once in a while muse about, you know, what she, you know, the admirers she had in her youth. And, you know, she was, she kind of wanted this yellow Corvette, and she wanted a yellow convertible kind of thing. So there was, you know, this sort of association that somehow she thought she was going to live a more adventurous life or something. But I guess a lot of women do that. They, you know, they, for whatever reason, think that they're going to have an adventure even though they have four kids. You know, it's really stupid. Anyway, it's a really bad calculating of how reality works for them to draw those conclusions. You could say that at minimum. But anyway, that's where I think, you know, I first started thinking about the fact that everybody's destiny, you know, is a destiny, and anybody you touch and fiddle with, you know, think about these people who, you know, hard to have empathy for people, you know, in certain circumstances, but, you know, they come from some foreign country and they got some frickin' disease and they start giving it to other people. So apparently, you know, just to be current, apparently there's a bit of a measles threat in New Jersey because of one person, okay? One person touched a few too many people, okay? And, you know, and then, you know, you could end up being a real, you know, causing an awful lot of harm unintentionally. But, I mean, some of this stuff we should all be already aware of, that you have to take some responsibility for your, where you've been and what you might be carrying. So there's lots of people who have given people venereal diseases and they had no good reason to think they were a carrier, you know, because of their behavior, and it was likely they might have something and they didn't care, and they didn't pay any attention to, you know, it's not just the one person you give it to, it's the 10 people they give it to. I mean, it's so on and so on and so on. It just, you know, so one mistake you make can end up, you know, screwing up a lot of lives. And, you know, that's one of those realities of our existence, is this being constantly aware, a constant vigilance, some sense of the importance of not taking it too casually, that, you know, it's really easy to unintentionally make mistakes that, you know, it's going to be hard for you to do enough good to fix the bad you did by mistake, you know, by accident. You know, and how many accidents are really accidents? You know, this is the argument. I mean, so many of the things that happen in hindsight, okay, it was pretty, I mean, it was, the writing was already on the wall. You know, you were already pointed right in that direction. And it wasn't a big surprise that you half had the trigger half pulled and that somehow the gun went off. It's not that big of, it shouldn't have been beyond, I mean, you could say a huge percentage of things ended up called accidents. It shouldn't have been called accidents because, there really was so much warning, like that little submarine-y thing that blew up. I mean, nobody should have been there's no way that somebody should have missed the fact that this was not the kind of thing that you should think, it's 1,000,000 to 1. Now it's 10 to 1, right? This is like getting on the shuttle, in the later years of the shuttle program, they had already figured out that, 1 in 70 of these things is going to be catastrophically affected by some defects and it ain't coming back. going in, that it's not 1 in 1,000,000. No, it's down to 1 in 70. Your odds of winning are losing, however you want to put it. It's getting a lot more realistic for you to recognize that you really are, setting yourself up for something. It won't be an accident. It'll be just paying the inevitable price. Something like that, anyway. But you could have known it before the first crash that, you have 1,000,000 things that can go wrong. And, all you need is 3 of them to go wrong and you have a catastrophe, that kind of thing. Some kind of little coincidental, inevitable failures will get you. All right, anyway, I don't know if that's really the subject, but the idea that we have to live in the world of, recognizing probabilities and recognizing that, wishes and hopes just aren't good enough. Right to die plans where, only 0.003% of the dying people qualify, that kind of thing. That's not an answer or a solution. That kind of bullshit. And there's all kinds of that in our culture. And that's just part of the idiocracy, that it's still bowing to archaic totem poles and is using up all valuable resources doing all that bowing. And, just all the waste. And it's all value. Every bit of waste is could have. The money could have, cured malaria. It could have done a whole bunch of other stuff that it's not doing because it was just squandered and wasted. All right. So, take a pause. And, let's think about it. All right, back. So I was thinking. it was my job, and so I did that. So I ended up thinking about direct democracy versus, representative government. And so I was thinking of things that I might regret my past position on, And that's a subject that's still, hard to say. I still tend to say representative government would be better than direct democracy. That is, why don't we just poll the people, so to speak, when the government's going to make a decision and say the hell with the Senate and the hell with the Congress and let's just let the people write the laws. But obviously the people are really stupid. part of me says, you have to do better. A representative has to be better because it's generally speaking going to be more articulate and rational and all of that stuff. But what has been getting elected is so bad that you're saying, it is representing something beneath the mean. It's not like the average is even being elected. These are people of below average character and honesty and everything. They're just despicable, lying pieces of crap, self-interested jackasses. And you're just saying, that's really bad. If that's all you're going to elect as representatives, then you're not going to do very well. That you're not going to get any enhanced value of having somebody smarter than the average rather than somebody more dishonest than the average. So that's a huge trade-off. But anyway, I mean, the point was is to get to this simpler stuff, and I ended up going something more complicated, which, you know, happens. So, yeah, I just want to spell it out again. So we know the rules about our existence. So if we're going to write a video game, you know, the only thing you're really playing for is what takes place in a sentient organism's brain. So obviously it's better that you pet the cat, not kick the cat, that kind of stuff. You know, and obviously in our interactions with other humans, it's better that you make them stronger, not weaker, and try to enhance their capacity to do good in the world in some way, you know, that kind of have a positive influence. Now, positive influence isn't always making them feel better about themselves. Sometimes they, you know, people need to reassess and take a step back, so to speak, and recognize that they've been arrogant and dismissive and insensitive or something else. So all that sort of, you know, you can't just say it as a generic one line, how you positively affect somebody. I mean, it's like dealing with somebody who's overweight. You know, you could just say, fatty, fat, 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 you know. or you could try to say something encouraging about, you know, one step at a time. And, you know, I mean, here's the simple blueprint. You know, you got to figure out how much is going in and how much your body is taking out of what you put in there. And the idea is you either make it go through really fast so you don't get to consume any of it, or you put less in. You know, it's the only choices. And once you lose the weight, you know, then you're free, you know. Then you can just maintain it just as you are now. You're maintaining being 50 pounds overweight, and you've been 50 pounds overweight for 10 years. So you could live the same life. You just have to go through this little short period of time where you just get rid of the 50 pounds, you know, where you have to be inconvenienced and you get rid of the fat, and then you can go back to just living the way you did live before, because maintaining isn't nearly as difficult as losing. I mean, it's almost like you just fall into it. Now, the problem is that obviously people will have some irrational period. You know, it's like the alcoholic picking up the drink again, you know, where they'll think it doesn't matter and they can regain weight, you know, instead of just maintaining their weight. And that requires you to eat the extra and do the things that are different. But anyway, you don't want to get into a whole bullshit about all the self-help crap that's out there about that. But I'm just saying it's, you know, knowing exactly what the right approach is isn't that easy, because, you know, it's that whole tough love thing and scared straight. And yeah, it works on some people and it completely fails on other people. So it's not easy to try to manufacture your influence on other people and to strategize properly, you know, in terms of playing the psychological games. And it's, you know, be nicer just to be able to be honest and just, you know, tell somebody that, well, you really should do something about it, you know. It's like having a leaky roof. You really should do something about it before the whole house rots, you know. So somebody could have given me that advice about cigarette smoking, and they did for years and years and years. And, you know, I'm... Obviously, nobody gave me the advice in any form that I could take seriously enough to, you know, free myself of the nicotine addiction. And so now I've accepted it, you know, and I do this stupid vaping thing. it's sort of just a nuisance, and it doesn't really... It's probably, you know, what methadone is to a heroin addict. It probably is a real lame, you know... get you buyer, and it, you know, doesn't, it's not quite the same, but it just gets you by, you know, and you don't have to go through this changing the entire physiological function of your mind and body. And I guess part of it for me is I'm so I'm tenuous, you know, I'm teetering all the time, you know, just trying to maintain a sense of sanity and functionality and, you know, capacity to do what I have to do to, you know, to be practical, to be useful. And it seems like a very thin wire I'm walking. And it's you know, like I need every balance skill I have. And it's like I really can't afford to, you know, play with changing things, even though I know I should. You know, even though I know it's a nuisance and, you know, it's of no practical value in any probabilistic sense. So it is hard talking to people and explaining how you've got it wrong and you're doing something stupid and you need to recalculate, okay, and figure out that, yes, this is a real problem, not a fake problem. Got to find a real solution, not a fake solution. So there's a lot of, I don't know if pragmatic's the right word, but, you know, where you have to, the piece, the buttons don't press. This keyboard isn't just so simple where you just hit the button and it puts the right letter on. It's got all kinds of irregularities where you kind of have to, you know, you have to hold one end of the keyboard and then press it and then it works, you know, and each letter has its own rule for, you know, how you can press that particular key. And so that's the part that gets complicated, right? So the rule is really simple. Do unto others if others do unto you. But the doing it, you know, is the tricky part, because what would I have somebody do unto me? Let's say if I get lung cancer tomorrow, you know, I'm going to feel kind of, you know, stupid that, oh, shit, you know, I lost 10 years I could have used doing more of this talking bullshit. You know, somebody should have scared me straight, or somebody, you know, they should have kidnapped me and thrown me in a van and forced me not to have a cigarette for a day. You know, something like that. You know, I'll start making excuses for more and more aggressive interactions, you know, in my past, and how I should have been saved from my, you know, with some more aggressive, and, you know, but I'm only going to be saying that because of the fact that, yeah, it didn't turn out my way. I lost that that round of gambling, you know, based on, you know, I can't say there was any delusion. See, for most of my life, it wasn't. I didn't have the expectation that I was going to be meaningful or useful. And it's hard to say whether I am or not, right? So I don't know whether it really, you know, if I didn't wake up tomorrow, you know, people would have the inconvenience of not having me around, the people who are dependent on me, and they have to clean up, you know, the little bit of my life that is smeared on walls here and there. But would it, anything else, you know, does my future have something good in it in terms of my utility, or is it still just, you know, 1,000 views on YouTube, blah, 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 and, you know, marginalized as some nasty person who, you know, kills cats and defends child molesters or something, you know, some sort of bullshit that people make up. You know, but who knows? It's a legitimate perspective to have on your life. And I'm just saying, I think most people who would spend a little bit of time considering all of these facts of what their influence is and what they've really taken out of life versus how much they've given, and recognizing that most of the relationships are, built out of, their selfish purposes and agendas, and that the nature of the human organism is not a charming thing. It's, you know, its nature is kind of shitty. And it's only in again, this context of, people only care when it's their grandchild, for example. I mean, I saw some woman the other day, oh, let me see the baby, let me see my grandchild. And she didn't even realize it's her great-great-grandchild, right? so she didn't even label it right. And isn't familiar enough with it to even bother giving it a name, but somehow it's special because it's, it's their charming fat ass genes. And, even that, you're just saying, there's so many people that are just such a wreck, and I don't know why they would feel all great about the fact that they're sending some poor kid to a doomed destiny, just in genetics alone. And, an overcomable, unstoppable mechanism, that they're going to be stuck, blighted with. That's a hell of a thing to do to somebody. So, so I'll take another pause and we'll see where I go from there. All right, back. All right, so I should get to the, the core subject is it's a bug planet. We're just biological machines. There's no singularities, there's no matrices, there's no fancy story to this. It's just chemistry that evolved, okay, and the rules of evolution were this, this process where you kill a bunch of the demonstration models and just keep refining the product by only copying the ones that could survive the gladiator war, the carnage. And that, yes, you'll get better and better performance that way, but it's at this gigantic price of slaughtering, 9 out of 10 kids have to die, so to speak. To have your Olympic athlete, you have to have a bunch of broken legs and a bunch of crippled people and a bunch of psychologically broken people. It's a hell of a price to pay, frankly. And then your perfect athlete will end up saying, well, after 60 years, I figured out I'm the wrong sex. There's so many ironies in that whole story, going from the Wheaties box and being the icon, to being, anyway, just something I would have not predicted, frankly. But anyway, there would even be a possibility. You just think that he would have the strength of character to admit when he was 35, that he wasn't in the right place. But anyway, don't want to get into a whole political argument or subject about all of the wacky psychologies, frankly, of human beings, including my own. How big a problem just dealing with the bullshit of your own, sloppily oriented gyroscope of psychology. it's not doesn't work very well. So it's just a simple story about, yes, we're just biological machines. We can see all the biology going on. We have to consume to live. We have to steal energy, and go through this whole process of being a gladiator, a fighter. And we have to destroy things to get to build ourselves. We have to be built out of something else's destruction. And then there's the toolkit. And yeah, we have these obvious senses, and then we get this more elaborate brain function that allows us to do this better calculating in terms of storing information and learning information and going to high school and doing all of these rituals to gain some functionality in the world, to be able to have some kind of literate conversation about the concepts involved in our lives and the fact that we are robots and that we evolved, and it's not exactly a beautiful story. Our origin is ugly and, tyrannosaurus-ish. And, you know, we're just another version of a crocodile, except, you know, we don't have the big obvious teeth and jaws. And instead, we have a scheming brain, you know, that enables us to build traps to, you know, snap the jaws for us. Yeah, you know, and we literally do it, right? We literally place, you know, crocodile jaws out in the woods and for animals to get, you know, and hide them on purpose. You know, so it's really quite nasty, you know, the price paid for our existence. And nothing to be proud of or feel superior. And anyway, when the point is all these animals have it. This is a very old function feeling, and having good and bad days and having good and bad sensations. And that's what we're really playing for. So if you were to really make this game, the only way you get points is to prevent torture and to enhance the story by taking the big bad wolf out of the story, or taking, you know, whatever, the plague out of the story, and smallpox or some other, take all the shit out of the story. That's the real, that's how you win the game, is to be one of the things that cleans the streets and takes the banana peels away and removes the cracks that'll break anybody's back and all of that kind of crap. The idea is to create obvious efficiencies in the function, where there is, for as a first cause, like a doctor, first do no harm, first eliminate torture, and then you can start elevating some kind of condition. And unfortunately, I'd say a logical conclusion based on all the evidence is that we're just telling silly stories. And the fact is that you might as well just erase the whole story. There's no point in telling stories. There's no point in risking torture for whatever it is we think we're doing psychologically. You know, this psychological sense of I'm accomplishing and I'm winning and I'm struggling and I'm fighting and I must do that. Well, the fact that you feel like you must is, I'm not denying it, okay? But the fact that you actually must, that's the part where I'll say bullshit. Bullshit that you must, okay? You know, just, you know, not true. So if we were to really play this game, you know, the thing would be is that, yes, there would be a whole of these equations where you're not going to lose any points by preventing somebody if you could just hit the they don't wake up button. So instead of, you know, they don't harmed in any way, they just don't wake up. You know, they peacefully die in their sleep. You could start pressing that button all over the place. And the fact is that, you know, it would be very efficient. And then you could start, you know, you could start cutting the world up, the planet Earth. You could just say, well, here's a country with some silly name. What if I just pull that piece out, and, you know, you know, and it never, you know, it doesn't exist anymore. How tragic will the outcome be, you know, if that doesn't exist anymore? And, you know, it's just, that's now the real game. I'm just saying, if we could play the real video game or the real game, frankly, that's what it's really going to, that's the truth of it, okay? Now, we can't pragmatically play that game, all right, because we know that if everybody has a different definition of what has value, then everybody's going to be playing a very different game, and the board is going to get, a huge mess is going to be made out of the playing field, because if we make it a multiplayer game, you know, all these other players are going to be expanding the space where you're contracting the space, and it's, you know, they're all going to be undoing each other's effects and creating chaos and a mess. So that wouldn't work. And it's just a matter of recognizing that through what process are we capable of making the serious decisions, and then you're stuck with this democracy idea, and the idea is that I can't just play the game. I have to play the game other people will agree to. And that's the only game I can play, is the one you can get the majority to play. So, you know, I have to get to that point. I suppose there's nothing wrong with having a minority, okay, and being rebels. You know, you could argue that the United States was created by a rebel force of a minority of the people of America, okay, decided that they didn't like the king, and, you know, it wasn't a majority. You know, that kind of thing. You know, it wasn't some kind of democratic election that, you know, decided the issue. It's that a few rebels decide they have a better plan. You know, is that unethical? You know, so is every group of freedom fighters, you know, wrong? So it just depends on how bad your Hitler is, right? It just depends on how bad you can make the current evil in power, the current decision makers, and whether you have the authority to do what's against what would be the majority's opinion. But there's no point, you know, I'm just saying that's an open subject about when when you're allowed to be a rebel. I guess the standard would be is you'd have to have a good damn good reasoning. And so some nutty Muslim obviously doesn't have much credibility behind what he's doing. You know, he has a fable, he has a story, and it's really a lame and silly story. And frankly, he's got no business saying, well, because I believe it, you have to believe it. Now, some people have the excuse, you know, where they say they saw Jesus or something, or they saw Muhammad or whatever. And, it, you know, it's hard to argue with people who, you know, have some personal evidence that somehow gives them confidence. But they really should be able to argue it at minimum. So I guess that was all you can ask for, I suppose, is the fair trial. And that's the part that's so lacking, is that, you know, there really isn't any institutions built out of our, you know, we have all this connectivity, we have all of this video, all of this stuff, and so little of it really involves, you know, measuring positions without theater, you know, without the politics of it, you know, without somebody said changing the subject, okay, and doing the, you know, let's just assassinate the guy's character and we won't bother talking about the subject. Let's catch them in a stupid moment and we'll just play that over and over again. I mean, it's just so crass. And so, you know, the real issues really aren't, you know, a subject anywhere. And, you know, there has to be like some sort of real trial. And a real, even a challenge to voters, you know, I mean, you know, the one thing I have, defended is that, you know, I don't think people should be discriminated against based on any race or any other kind of crap, but they should at least at a minimum be able to answer, say, 10 questions before they vote, you know, 10 questions like, do you know what planet you're on? You know, I mean, you know, there's an awful lot of people who are voting who don't even know what they're voting for. And that's the part that's really, you know, they're just voting for, I like his face and I don't like his face and that kind of shit. And that's just, you know, that's caustic and corrosive to the process. And then even a weighted vote might even be some sort of value, you know, where people who have done stuff where, you know, if you had some way of measuring some kind of, you know, social sacrifices and, you know, people who have done some good, okay, somebody who actually does cure a disease or something, and make their vote a little more weight. You know, they have 10 votes rather than one vote. Good citizen kind of voting. And bad citizens, you know, if you're a drunk driver, you're some other kind of asshole, maybe you have a less than, you know, you have a 1/10 of a vote because you have demonstrated that you really don't care about other people's welfare and any of that kind of shit. And you're just out for yourself and blah, blah, blah. So maybe your vote shouldn't be as credible as somebody else's in terms of dictating the future. So again, but that's even that itself is a subject. All of this politics and how the system works, how the Senate works, how the Congress, well, all this stuff is worth debating and arguing that we don't really have a representative government because the same majority gets to win every election. So it's all the minorities are out of luck. All the minority positions will never get their fair representation. So in the whole country, there could be 25 million people who believe blue is better than red. But they can't win an election in any district. And so they never get a congressperson because they're too spread out, because they're not geographically located in a little center. And our democracy is encouraging that kind of isolation. If you want power in America, it's best to consolidate your people, your believers, all in one place, be a Quaker or be this or be that, because then you have more voting power. You actually have a representative in Congress where you're not going to have one if you're spread out all over the country. So, I mean, that became obvious in the whole cigarette wars, you know, that clearly the candy and sugar and fat eaters, you know, the drinkers, all voted against the minority who smoke cigarettes just to steal their money, you know, just to create some, you know, where they don't have to be taxed and instead tax them. And that's another thought that came to me about 15 minutes ago, but I didn't talk about was the, well, I guess it was 20 minutes ago. Well, it was a half hour ago. Anyway, and I just lost it again. Shit. All right, I'll take a pause and see if I can catch it again. Ah, I remembered. yeah, the subsidy of kids, right? So, you know, the theme underlying all this is that people shouldn't be procreating because it's insanely risky. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's a hell of a thing to cause torture. It's a hell of a thing to sentence somebody to a shitty life. And you really have no business playing with this living stuff. It's not a game. It's not a toy. It's serious business, and you really have no business imposing because you have no evidence that's for the good, that any good will come of it, that it will ever produce a song and dance or even an orgasm that is worth all the torment and suffering sentient brains will have to endure. So that's another one of those subjects where the majority, okay, is this pro-life, pro-kid bullshit. And they force people who don't have kids or pets or anything, and they force them to pay the bill, you know. So that this would be a simple solution to the population problem is as if these procreators actually had to pay, you know, to raise their own kids, you know. They have to some extent, but obviously the system now has basically guaranteed the minimum, so they can't really fall too far below a minimum standard, and the, you know, the taxpayers will have to subsidize their decision to have more kids than they can take care of, or any kid. You know, one might be too many for a lot of people, and clearly the education system and the policing and all the other stuff that has to be created to make the world child safe, you know, that should all be their problem. It shouldn't be the people who don't own pets. They shouldn't have to subsidize the people that do. If you're going to have, you know, pet control authorities and you're going to have to, you know, take care of some problem created by pet ownership, it should be paid for by the pet owners, not for by people who didn't make that mistake and didn't think it was a good idea to do in the first place. That kind of thing. So, I mean, the hypocrisies in the system are glaring, it's again, it's just this idea that the majority vices are okay. It's the minority vices that have to be attacked, and it should be exactly the other way around. The minority vices are the problem. The majority religions, it's not the wacky cults that are the problem. It's the big establishment bullshit that's the problem. So anyway, that's probably enough of a video. I think I made it. So I'm still working on that, consolidating all of this. And again, the theme of this video is just to point out that really is just the nonsense. So it's just the belief in religions, or the belief in quantum mechanics, or the belief in whatever silly bullshit that distracts people from understanding the simple truth that they're just biological machines, effectively programmed by an environment that they were exposed to, and how they interacted. What happened to them, how they where they were lucky and where they were unlucky, and that decided what kind of person they became. And it's just a fact. Little silly conversations changed who they were. Fact. I had the benefit, I can just argue, I had the benefit of conversations that other people didn't have the benefit of, and that's why they're insensitive jackasses. And the conversation needed to take place, when they were 12, and it ain't gonna work when they're 65. And that's unfortunate too, because they're thin, their skin isn't nearly as thin as it was when they were 12. It's a lot harder to get to people emotionally, as they get older, and the hide gets oxidized. But anyway. So it's, there's not that much to understand about what we are and the circumstance we're in. And here we are after millions, hundreds of millions of years. I mean, an insane amount of time of a molecule evolving. And it's now created quite an elaborate machine. But the machine doesn't have any function besides what it had originally, which is it's just a mouth and an ass and tools to feed the machine. I mean, I guess you should say mouth, ass, and sexual organ, because that's about it. That's all there is. And the game isn't, the game is crude and foul. And there's no better game to play except fixing the game. I mean, the only game is fixing the game. Well, maybe I'll title it that. I thought of other ones, the rules of the game, but that might be even better. I mean, that's a hell of a position for us to be in. And there's just no point in being distracted by all this bullshit about something else going on here. That bumblebee, licking its flower, it's not doing much that's different than what you're doing, and the only difference is that you have this whole elaborate story that goes with what you're doing. But it's the same hunger, it's the same desire, it's the same motivating physiological mechanism, and it's just less complicated by concepts and vocabulary. But it's still an adventure in torture. And that's all it's going to end up being. There's nothing, there's only downside. There's only how you can only make things worse. The better thing is just less worse, less bad. That's all there is to play for, is less bad. So why would you open a gambling house that just has you lose less? Yeah, no, you wouldn't. If you were a decent person, you wouldn't. All right. So, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. I think that'll do, pig, and such. Yeah, so. Another week on Earth.